This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Team is in camp. Very busy baseball weekend. Optimism flowing for the White Sox as well. Some optimism here for the Cubs. Some pointing fingers about last year.
The owner predicted a division title, right? Didn't I hear that today?
I heard Cap say, Cap and Danny said that I think he's predicted a title every year since 13.
God bless him.
So, I mean, he's been right three or four times.
Yes, he has.
He's been wrong last year and year before that.
Well, I
mean, 13 and 14.
I mean, wouldn't you say if you go, you look at the rosters of everybody in the NL Central that there's nobody out there that you think stands head and shoulders above the Cubs?
Yeah.
Roster to roster, they have every chance to win this division.
I agree with you. I think it's a well-balanced division, but not a division where you fear a team. Like, the Reds can be really good. The Cardinals can be good. The Brewers can be good, but so can the Cubs.
Every team's got holes. Every team's got holes.
And strengths.
Yes.
So
I would not be shocked in the slightest if we end this baseball season and the Cubs have won the division. And that's more of a comment based on the division. Now, maybe one of these teams pulls away. I don't know. But I don't think that the Cubs are in over their head in the NL Central, for crying out loud.
If you want to weigh in, 332-3776, a lot of talk about the All-Star game and, quote, Bulls changes. Whether or not they're looking for this new general manager who's really going to run things. But Chris Bryant, I thought, he spoke to the media, Waddle, for 30 minutes. Remember, we commented on this when he was in Vegas for some sort of a baseball seminar, some sort of a thing that he was teaching kids, right?
Yeah.
And then he said, I don't want to say anything about my grievance until I meet the Chicago media.
I thought it was a classy move.
And he came with thoughts.
He always does. Now, we don't talk to him all that often, but whenever we've had him on, he's always given you strong thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, here's Chris Bryant talking about the grievance that he just lost.
That took forever. It really did. At the beginning of it, I was told that it would take maybe a couple weeks. So I was ready for it. And then the offseason kept going on. I'm like, all right, just come out with let's go. Like, I mean, obviously I knew it was an uphill battle going into it. And I've always, thought that. And, it was just me. I mean, obviously we had a disagreement. We handled it respectfully. I'm very thankful that Theo and the team saw it through. I saw it through to the end because, it was something that I really believed in. And I believe that, my mom, dad has always told me to stand up for what I believe in, and I was going to see the process through, and I saw it through, and respect on both ends. I mean, there's definitely no hard feelings, so let's definitely put that narrative to bed. I definitely saw a lot of things out there saying, oh, there's ill will towards the team, and then there's another one saying there's absolutely no ill will. It's like, okay, well, where are we getting this from? Like,
that was mine.
Oh, maybe it was you. I don't know who it was, but it's like, the only person opinion who's matters here is mine, and I'm right here in front of the microphone telling you guys that there's no hard feelings whatsoever. I mean, I completely respect this organization and everything that they've done for me, my family, given me an opportunity to play the game that I love every single day. I just saw this as a process that is eventually going to help the players in the next round of negotiating, and I was going to be that guy to have the courage to do it. And I know there's going to be backlash for it, and I understand it. But it was really important to me.
He told us that in the interview we did with him last spring. He promised us, he said, because we brought up about the service time. He said, I promise you I don't hold any. Once it ended, there is no grudge. I don't hold grudges. And he reiterated that yesterday.
I believe what he says, too. I mean, I wrote it down before he even said it. I don't think there are any hard feelings. I don't think the man's going to get paid somewhere. I think he loves the organization. He told you as much today. I don't think he's going to face any backlash from doing this either. I mean, I think that's a straw man argument. I don't think there's any backlash. I don't think the Cubs hold this against him that he filed a grievance about this situation. I don't think there's any hard feelings on either side.
I think he loves being a Cub. He would want to be here, but A, he's going to be a businessman.
Of course.
And he's not going to accept like some sort of a hometown discount.
Listen, he's going to visit free agency. We talked with Jeff Passan. If he would take the deal that Arenado signed with the Rockies, I think that deal would get done. But you know what? He's not willing to accept that type of contract.
It's something he was upset about. When he met the media, he talked about that. There have been reports, I think Cap was on that too, that Bryant has turned down this deal north of $200 million. And this was Chris Bryant reacting to all that stuff about rejecting past offers from the Cubs.
I don't even know. I mean, with all the stuff, the talk going on right now, it's like, I think I've always had the stance that, yes, I want to play here. I love the city. And it's so, I mean, the biggest thing with this whole, the trade rumors that has disappointed me is the fact that I feel like people, not everybody, but the main reasoning behind it is that let's get rid of him now because he doesn't want to be here in 2 years. He turned down this monster extension well north of $200 million. And I'm like, well, where was that? I never saw that. I mean, it's just these rumors and sources and people just saying things. And it's like, the only thing that matters is what comes from my mouth. And never once have I said I never wanted to play here. I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys can go through all the recordings, all the interviews. I've always said I've respected everybody in this organization, everybody in the city, the fans. Like, you, we have it so good here. And, of course, I would love to play here.
If I was Theo or Jed, I'd take the same deal that Arenado's got. I'd drop it in front of him and ask him to sign. I would.
Even though you have questions about his health, and questions if he's as good as him now.
Well, but that number's only going to go up unless he...
His performance continues to just be... If he never recaptures 16, are you paying him that?
I think he's their... I still believe he's their best hitter. Now, Arenado's a better defensive player. I don't know how much of Arenado's numbers are going to be, you know, when you get him out of Colorado consistently. I know his splits weren't ridiculous. I know
last year, Waddle, but throughout his career,
course of time,
he
I'm
has
sure.
definitely gotten his stats been inflated from course so tremendously.
I'd ask you, would you not give Chris Bryant the same deal that Nolan Arenado signed?
It's not my money. I want Chris Bryant to be a Cub. I think it's a shame we're at. Now, I do want Chris Bryant to be better.
Of course, I
think there are a lot of numbers that you can look at over these last few years where people rip him and say he's a terrible player, and you can still see he's very good. I always thought that Chris Bryant, he set his own bar. Rookie of the year, MVP. I thought this would be a guy who would carry the team on the back, who would be a top 10 player in at least the National League, top 20 overall.
2018 was marred by injury, right?
Right.
I mean, he was coming off
the
years
last couple
where
years.
His war was a 6, then a 7-7, and a 6-1. Last year, he played 147 games. He had 31 home runs, 77 driven, and he hit .282 and was on base 38% of the time. His OPS was .903.
Right. It's still great numbers. There are a lot of great numbers there.
And you could probably suggest it wasn't his best.
No, but and remember, a lot of people had a lot more home runs with the ball being juiced and then the clutch stuff. That's the biggest debate with Cubs fans. Here's more, Bryant. And we always say this, Waddle. So many times athletes get it wrong. Whether it's, you know, the Astro story is so much bigger. And it's, of course, a black eye the way they have to deal with it. But Bryant handled himself perfectly.
Yeah.
He didn't rip the organization. He claimed how he wants to be here. He said, look, don't believe anything unless it comes from me. He wasn't really mad, and he wasn't lecturing people. I thought he did a nice job of handling all the rumors.
I'm with you. I think he's handled himself well. I don't know the dynamic between David Ross and Chris Bryant versus David Ross and Joe Maddon. I think that's going to be a little bit of an interesting thing for me to see how that goes.
Maybe it'll be good for him.
Absolutely. I'm not saying it's negative, but maybe David Ross may deal with things a little bit differently.
Here's our Chris Bryant on dealing with all the trade speculation.
It's been pretty easy, too. I've had a lot of doctor's appointments and baby stuff. And, getting a nursery ready and all that. So it's been really easy. But I guess lately, as you get closer towards spring, it's kind of like baseball mode is on. And it's kind of like you see more of it, I guess. So that's been a little difficult. But other than that, you know, I guess there were trade rumors last offseason too. And, you know, going through that, I understand as part of the process as you get closer to free agency and everything's up in the air. So I understand it. And I just really try my best to tune it out.
This is the question I have about why are the trade rumors, why do they exist? I didn't make them up. Why do they exist?
Well, they can't come to an agreement on a deal. But they've got to get something for
right,
him.
And he just said to you, well, I didn't see that big. So, I mean, the point when he says to you, I didn't see this big offer, something has, there is something between the Cubs and Chris's representation that at least leads you to know that trading him is a possibility.
Oh, it's real.
Right.
Yeah,
so when Chris says that, I haven't seen that deal, or take it from me, and listen, I take him at his word, but obviously Scott Boras and Theo Epstein aren't on the same page. Is that a pretty fair assessment or supposition?
Sure, of course.
I did find it interesting, though, that he comes out and says he never saw a deal worth well north of $200 million because, like, I for a long time, if you look around, like, at his like his counterparts, guys like Anthony Rendon, who just signed a monster deal with the Angels. He's really close with Bryce Harper. He saw Manny Machado. Both those guys get well over $300 million. Now, they're younger, but I thought if they were having a conversation, the hiccup would be, does Bryant want more than $300, or does he want a $300 contract? But when you hear Chris Bryant say, I have not even seen a contract offer worth $200 million, that does make me wonder,
What are Theo
and Jed trying to ask him to?
What do they think he's worth?
Well, maybe he's been told. Maybe Theo and Jed, again, is speculating. Maybe Scott Boras said to them, don't come to us without a number that has a 37 or 40, all right, meaning 370 million or 400 million.
It would all be believable with Scott Boras. I've got a couple more Bryants. Javi Baez also said something. Are we going back and forth here this spring of, you know, Joe blaming the Cubs, and are some players blaming Joe? Did Javi blame Joe for last year and them not achieving what they were supposed to? You'll hear that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Fantastic All-Star game over the weekend in the city of Chicago. Baseball is back, too, and that's what we're talking about. A little bit very busy.
Never seen more angry baseball players in my life.
It's great. I mean, it's not great, but I love, in the circumstance with what's gone on, I love that they're not filtering themselves and they're not taking the high road.
In terms of baseball being on the front of your brain, I know this isn't the way you wanted to talk about baseball, but people are talking about baseball.
I know. For all the wrong reasons,
yeah,
though.
I know, but sometimes all the wrong reasons turn into all the right reasons.
You think so?
I know, but listen, they want eyeballs, they want ears. They're getting them right now.
I want to play one more Chris Bryant, and then I'll play Javi talking about the Cubs weren't as prepared as they should have been last year, and whether that's a shot at Joe. But I want to play you a couple of the things since we were on Bryant. Bryant did talk about the cheating stuff. And then later in the show, we're going to go around the league like Chris Sale and Justin Turner, stuff that Rob Manfred said. There is so much juicy stuff on what Waddle was just talking about. But Chris Bryant, vocal on the contract situation in a classy way. And I thought Chris Bryant hit it on the head regarding the Astros, too, and their cheating.
A lot of the apology yesterday was a lot about 2017. It's like, I'm pretty sure it was going on in 2018, 2019, too. Like, and that's just so sad because it's like, just because, if they didn't get caught, they'd still be doing it. And, you know, they're only doing this apology because they got caught. And there's a lot of feelings on it. And I know everybody around the league is really upset, and rightfully so, because it's really a disgrace to the game. This is people's livelihoods, too, that they're messing with. Like, Guys have never pitched in games since then. Guys have won awards that maybe they shouldn't have won. Who knows? I mean, yeah, they're certainly talented ball players, but you know, I personally think it's worse than steroids. I really do. I mean, it's steroids. You still have to compete and hit the ball. You know it's coming. I mean, off of these pitchers, like guys throwing, you know, upper 90s with really good curveballs and sliders, and you can totally formulate a unbelievable game plan based on certain things if you know what they're coming. Like, it's just frustrating. And I mean, they're gonna have a tough year this year for sure. I mean, I got booed really loud in St. Louis, and they're gonna get wow everywhere they go, rightfully so.
That's funny. Brian got booed in St. Louis for saying that St. Louis is boring, which yeah. It is. And but these guys, these Astros, cheated and won.
I think Chris Bryant is their best. I like, if I was going to sit down and have a conversation with one of their guys, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with Chris Bryant. I think he tells you what's on his mind. I don't think he holds anything back. I think he's a deep thinker in a lot of ways. I mean, I think he's a good interview. I mean, when was the last time you had a conversation with Chris Bryant or heard him talk and you weren't
thoughtful.
Well, yeah,
no,
at least he thought that through.
Yeah, absolutely. To say it's a disgrace to the game, again, These are guys who aren't filtering themselves. It's great. Usually in baseball, everyone takes the high road. Well, I don't want to burn any bridges. And these guys, this is so bad. And to a man, they all say it's way worse than steroids. And they know how well you could hit if you know which pitch is coming.
Yeah.
Yu Darvish also has become a really good interview in English. And over the last year, he spoke more and more in English, and without his interpreter, he addressed the Astros situation.
It's a weird feeling. It's like Olympics. Like when players cheat, you can't have a gold medal, right? But they still have a, you know, World Series title. Just makes me feel like weird and like, you know, that's it. But one more thing, you know, the Korea talking about Billinger. You know, I saw that yesterday, but so they cheat. I think they, so right now they don't have to talk. They shouldn't talk like that right now.
I love it.
He's in the two games he pitched in the World Series against the Astros. The first one wasn't the first game in Houston where he got roughed up.
Yeah.
Then the second time he came in, he was in LA and got roughed up similarly.
Yes.
So this wasn't him being in Houston twice. He had some of the same problems at home as he did on the road.
In that game seven.
But I think he's kind of maybe intimated that he was so wrecked confidence-wise because of game one that it may have potentially bled into game seven, is that he was questioning everything he was doing because people were talking about him tipping his pitches. And he just, you know what I mean? Like,
who was the outspoken catcher who came to the Cubs, but he never really caught on, and he was Darvish's personal catcher? Do you remember that guy?
I'm trying
to
think
of his
name.
When he joined us and he told us
Chris?
This guy told us how screwed up Yu Darvish's brain was from tipping his pitches.
Jimenez, Chris Jimenez, right?
Right. And it was pronounced Jimenez. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I mean, he wasn't tipping his pitches, probably.
No, he wasn't. From the outside looking in, I'm saying, listen, I can understand how you're pissed because of what was going on in Houston. But when you get the ball in game seven, you know what? You're at home. You're not getting cheated on. You know, bear down. Bear down and get them out. I mean, part of me says, if you're an athlete, why are you bothered? Why are we blaming game seven on what your mentality was in game one? Part of that, you have to bear the responsibility for not being good. I'm not going to bear the responsibility or blame everything that went wrong in game seven based on what happened in game one. I get it. You know what? You're not in the right frame of mind. They're cheating. I get it. But go out there at home. They're not cheating. Be better. So part of me is like, I'm sympathetic, but part of me is like, it's an excuse, but it doesn't explain everything away.
I did like, though, his part at the end about, and this apology stuff, the bad apologies, and then now Correa continuing to go to Ken Rosenthal and defending Altuve and his bad tattoo, why he took off his shirt and the no buzzers. When you open up Pandora's box and you've cheated to begin with, all bets are off as far as what you're going to get blamed for. So they're better off just saying, look, we cheated. I can understand why everyone thinks now we've done it to a different level. So we're just going to take it. Like, and now they've come out and they've been arrogant and they've sort of doubled down and they're playing the victim. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there are so many angles to this story that, I mean, you could talk about this for three straight days, 24/7. From the commissioner's office making... Listen, if the commissioner had penalized the players, then the opposing team wouldn't have to then, you know, dispense justice as they're talking about now. And I don't know whether or not what they're going to do is they're talking loud, what their actions will be. I'm not so sure. And think about this. No Astros players are suspended. But if an opposing pitcher throws at one of the Astros after being warned by the commissioner's office that we're not going to tolerate this, you could have an opposing player suspended for hurling a baseball at an Astro and an Astro player who cheated never being suspended. I mean, this is like the web has been woven in such a disjointed, strange way.
It's such a good thought by you, but that if you do have guys going and taking, quote, justice in their own hands, something Dusty's worried about, and if someone throws at them and hits them and they deem it intentionally and they get fined or suspended for five, like a pitcher would, it would be five games, salaries taken away, and a start could be taken away. A guy who just hit a player will be suspended more than guys cheating to win a World Series.
Again, if the commissioner had suspended players, punished the players, then these other players and other organizations wouldn't feel empowered to dispense justice on their own. Or at least that's the way they're talking now.
Manfred spoke to Ravi. We'll play that later in the show. Here's the Baez stuff I was talking about. So Javi Baez, this is the really in vogue thing with the Cubs. David Ross, I guess, gave the speech today, too. Javi talked about last year and what went wrong.
I wasn't really going out there and preparing for the game. I was getting ready during the game, which is not good. But this year, I think we before the games, we got to be everybody out there as a team, you know, and stretch as a team and be together as a team so we can play together.
So he did blame himself. He said, I. He didn't say we or them. He said, I didn't get ready before the game. I would get ready during the game. And it wasn't a good mindset. But I think what people think is he's inferring that Joe had such easy rules that they sort of then just took advantage of it and really didn't prepare as they should be.
I blame the player first and foremost. And it, like you said, he assumed responsibility for it. I mean, it's your job. But to me, this is the reason why Joe's not here anymore, whether it's valid or not. This was the perception, in my humble opinion, from the front office that, listen, I can't fire all my players. I can't trade all of my players, nor do I want to. But if they're not going to hold themselves accountable, which is concerning, I need to have somebody on the top step of that dugout that will do the holding accountable. Again, I understand what people are going to say. These are grown men. These are professionals. They should be able to do it on their own. But to me, this is the justification for making a managerial change because Joe had a different way. Under Joe's guidance, again, I don't think they win a World Series without Joe. But under Joe's guidance, here's Javi telling you that he didn't police himself. So if the player's not going, and it's ultimately...
He abused the rules that helped them in 16, and then they abused it in 19.
Well, guess what? You know what Theo and Jed did? They removed the opportunity for those rules to be in place.
They're putting more rules.
I brought
rules
a new cop in who's got different rules.
Right. I think I'll believe it when I see it, because I think we get this all the time with all these coaching changes we've gone through in Chicago. When you bring in a guy who's really tough on his players, the next guy's going to be the player's manager, and they'll say, we were too tight, we worked too hard, we got to work smarter, we got to be looser, we didn't enjoy the game. Now the opposite is happening with the Cubs. They had that... The manager who said, hey, don't let the pleasure exceed the pressure, or was it the other way around? Don't let the pressure exceed the pleasure.
Yeah.
They wanted to relax and have fun.
Maybe they were bad last year because they had the motto.
The motto was wrong. Yeah. There's so many mottos at the end. But now they're like, okay, now we got to work harder. And it's an easy excuse, but will it actually be a solution?
I don't know if this is going to be for the better. I'm just telling you, this to me is the justification for going from Joe to David Ross. And ultimately, first and foremost, it lands at the feet of the players who are professionals. You want that $250 million contract extension if you're Javi, and we all love Javi.
Work.
Well, then, yeah, this can't be the formula for getting there.
Such good stuff over the weekend, and we've barely scratched the surface. All-Star game, Bulls changes, the Cubs drama, the cheating situation, 332-3776. We've got Rick Sutcliffe, who always provides us with Can't Miss Radio at 4 o'clock. Coming up next, it's Waddle's World.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, every team wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
That's right, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC. With that in mind, I think we go into the cockpit and we see what's going on at the Great American Race. Where's Dale Waltrip when you need him? I think he's right there behind the glass.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
I know
That's what he says, right?
I know the race was postponed yesterday because of inclement weather. Boogity, 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 what do we have right now?
Rubbin is racing. I think they're racing.
Racing is rubbin.
I think they're racing.
What? Dale, that's not, I mean, that's not the update I was looking for.
So they're racing now? They moved it to Monday?
They had to. They had to postpone it.
I know.
Do you remember? Dale, what the hell?
There was
what
a lot of rain yesterday. I'm trying to find a thing.
It's in progress.
There's just a whole lot of
this
sirens.
This is a live listen, right now. Yeah, this is a live listen.
Yes, it is. It is in progress. Yes.
Guys, we got Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He's in the lead right now. Joey Logano coming in second. Eric Amarillo in third. Ron Newman in that beautiful Ford in fourth. Kevin Harvick also in a Ford. Lots of Fords out here. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind.
Wait.
It just updated.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good, though.
Chase Elliott now in the lead in that Chevy, that beautiful Chevy. Jimmy Johnson racing in his last Daytona 500.
Whoa, Jimmy, get off there.
He's second place right now. Bring it up the rear. Let's go to the final. The bring it up the rear is Joey Gase.
Who?
Joey Gase.
Who, Joey? Get yourself up there in it.
In 38th. Kyle Busch in 35th. You know he's going to make a run. And Martin Truex Jr. in 32nd.
Okay, so I'm confused.
I'm just reading the names I know.
Now, give me who's winning the race currently?
Chase Elliott.
Can we watch it? Is it on TV?
Yeah, we're watching a significant Premier League game.
It's Chelsea, you know, Man
U.
You
know
why? Because what are you talking about insignificant?
Because Meller is the king of the clicker when it comes to the show at this time.
This is the Great American Race, Meller. Come on now. This is a Super Bowl of racing.
If you can name me four drivers, I'll put it on right now.
I know if Sylvie
Ricky
can name
Bush,
me four.
Dickie Bush, Johnny Bush, Phil Bush.
The Bush Boys.
Yes.
Listen, there's 70. There's 3 minutes left in this game, and man,
oh, there's 13. If you guys want to take a vote, we can go 3-1. We can do it.
How am I supposed to learn the drivers if I'm not watching the race?
Yeah, that's what's keeping you from learning.
I have you know, Hendrick Motors is leading 1-4 right now. They got their first four drivers in the first four positions right now. Guys, it's a good day for Hendrick.
Show on. I just saw that.
I think that's one of the best things you do.
The NASCAR, being a jackass.
Yeah, no, you could be a. I think if you went in character and you got, if you learned the drivers, you would be great at doing the play-by-play of NASCAR.
I'll pull the curtain back. I know the drivers because I was in a fantasy NASCAR league for like 4 or 5 years. Yeah, we used to go to races and everything. It's great.
How'd that happen?
It's a fun party.
Joey Lascano is one of your favorites.
We were out of college and bored and like drinking, so we were like, let's go to NASCAR races.
Wow, I don't think that.
What channel is this on, Waddle? Sylvie, what channel?
It's on Fox. Channel 12.
We should have Abdallah do the new racing show. We have the hockey show. How about the racing show?
Yeah, how many laps
That's
are we in?
That's stepping on Yurko's
Let's
toes,
watch
I think.
That in HD, Miller.
Remember when Yurko used to do that hour of racing? I want to say it was right after...
That's it, Miller.
After his show was over. And
do you want to watch in HD, though, or no?
I don't care. I just need to know how many laps in we are to the Great American Race. It is the Great American
Race. Carmen and I would have to wait till 7 o'clock to get started in the evening. Because Yurko was talking to himself about racing from 6 to 7.
Wow. And there are a lot of racing fans.
ESPN 1000 stands by
There's a lot of racing fans out there that have just been offended by Mark Silverman and Jeff Mallard.
No, I didn't mean by that. I meant... Yeah.
No, I said ESPN 1000 stands by that decision.
Absolutely.
You want to go to Chicagoland Speedway?
Absolutely. The tailgate is amazing.
I want to take the kids to a race. They would. We're going to Monster Trucks again on March 1st. That's something you know I love the trucks.
Gravedigger.
Gravedigger's back. So I would like to take them to a race.
So at the end of this conversation, we're still not aware of how many laps have been
run. It's like 190-something, for the love of God.
Well, they only run 200. They say 500, but it's 200, right?
Because
it's 2.5 miles around, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Now I'm just talking foolishly.
Nice.
No, I'm just saying, it's the Daytona 500.
We're 57 to 200, Tom Waddle. 54 minutes into this beauty.
Okay, and I see that Sam Elliott is leading in the number 9 car.
Yes.
That'd be Chase Elliott.
Same thing.
In that beautiful number 9 Chevy.
Let's go to the number 18 car. That's Kyle Busch in his Toyota.
How's it going on in there, Kyle?
Kyle Busch isn't doing so hot right now, guys. Kyle Busch, he's 35th right now. You know Rowdy is a little irritated right now. He's in that wonderful M&M 18 Toyota vehicle, and he's going to try to make a run here. You know he's going to do something. He's going to push some people out the way to get in the front if he needs to.
There goes
the 24 car. The 24
That's
car.
That's Jeff Gordon.
You can't do play-by-play.
More of a reaction, not really a play-by-play.
That'd be William Byron right now, the 24 Chevy.
Wait, you know what?
Oh, that's good. His day is done. We're in the second caution of the day. The Pizza Hut second caution of the day.
They have it sponsored?
Of course they do.
Pizza Hut sponsors the caution
NASCAR. The NASCAR cars are a bad tattoo of sponsors.
We're in a caution flag. Now's the time to call Pizza Hut.
A good tattoo of sponsors.
Well, I'm just saying, yes.
Who's the angrier Bush brother? Is it Kurt or Kyle?
Oh, yes. Kyle. Kyle, for sure. Yes. It's
They're
Kyle.
They're both angry. Angry Bushes is what they are, the two of them.
You ever met an angry Bush?
Usually very prickly, lots of thorns on them, right?
Weekend recap for our beloved Chicago Blackhawks as well. After an 8-4 win over Calgary on Saturday, they lost 3-2 to Winnipeg last night. I'm not going to lie to you. When I was coming home last night from the airport.
Did you miss Saturday's game because you were in Houston and then watched last night's game, Waddle?
No, I didn't catch last night's game because I was traveling. What I was going to tell you was I was listening to the final 8 minutes on the radio.
So it was your fault, again.
Yes.
So you missed Saturday's game because you were in Houston. They go off.
You're the curse.
So Pat Boyle may be right. His theory of Waddle watching hockey.
There's no doubt.
Is really it's derailing the Hawks' playoff chances this year.
Yes.
Jeffrey says we should call.
Ooh, we caught some air.
We should call Abdallah's new NASCAR play-by-play Hillbilly Snowball. Let's go check in with Hillbilly Snowball.
That sounds dirty.
I got to make sure that's not an Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, I was just going to say that sounds dirty. And that ain't Jeff Gordon.
Definitely.
When did Jeff Gordon bail out on a NASCAR?
Jeff Gordon retired like 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay. The trip to Canada, no go. It was not good. They're 1-4-0.
And they stopped at Winnipeg again.
The most important road trip of the season.
So they played Winnipeg twice on the same trip.
So are we sailing now?
What do you mean? We're selling.
That's what I meant. I said it wrong.
Sailing.
You know, I was caught up in the NASCAR.
I got given up on the year.
No, I was trying to say sell, but I found myself, you know, going back. I saw Pizza Hut. We're lap 61, and then I just kind of lost my lingo.
Turned into Dennis DeYoung over there.
I did.
But there was a Bowman term. We're sailing.
I don't know. Are we selling? Is what I was trying to say.
Yes, I think they should, but not to like the large
Hell,
extent.
I haven't even brought you any thoughts here. Justin
got too wrapped up in Daytona.
Yeah, Justin Turner's mad with Rob Manfred. He says he's out of touch. There are some other people not so happy with him as well.
We're going to play that coming up at 4:15.
Yes. American League MVP Mike Trout also rips the Astros, calls for stiffer punishment. The Lions are entertaining trade talks for cornerback Darius Slay. That's a guy that you may want in your secondary. He's very, very good. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin defended quarterback Mason Rudolph against Myles Garrett's claims that Rudolph used a horrible word when that horrible incident took place. And the Cavaliers and John Beilein are discussing his departure.
Yeah, that's weird. It's been a weird year for John Beilein.
Yeah.
You thought that would be a good hire, but he is woefully failed.
Yes. When we come back, Tim Tebow, Ron Rivera raising money, and a problem with urine in a zip line in Vegas.
Problem with a what?
With urine and a zip line.
Oh, no,
in Vegas.
That's not good.
And, of course, Florida or Ohio.
It's on that.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Our good friend Ron Rivera raised more than $30,000 in a yard sale of his Panthers items, and all the money goes to charity. How about that?
Did you see the line outside his house?
I did not. But Ron and his lovely wife Stephanie had the yard sale at the Humane Society of Charlotte, where they raised more than $30,000 towards a new campus and research facility for one of their favorite charities in the city. That's
all right,
awesome.
So the yard sale was at the Humane Center, because yeah. I saw the line going down the street. Someone showed it, and, like, stuff went so quickly.
Yeah.
They really did a great job, like...
In their community.
In Charlotte for as long as they were there.
No doubt. Tim Tebow has some communication with the XFL, but he's decided to stick with baseball in the Mets minor league organization. Quote, there was some communication. Had a couple of conversations, but it was pretty clear that this was... the fact that I love what I'm doing. I think it has a chance to have success, meaning the XFL, and I think that's great. And so I think there needs to be a place for a lot of players that are really good and should and could be playing in the NFL and are better than a lot of NFL. He goes on to say it's a very good league, but right now he's staying in.
He's got to be committed to baseball if he really wants to make
it. That's right.
And then did you mention you mentioned it during the break, Matt McGloin, the quarterback, New York? Is he the quarterback of New York, I believe?
Yes. Do you have his sound, Meller?
Yeah, this was headed into halftime on ESPN, Steve Levy, and was it, I didn't catch who the sideline reporter was.
Was it Molly McGrath?
Might have been. I'll check. I'll get the confirmation for you, but here is the sound.
What does this team need to do on offense to get something going here?
We need to change the whole entire game plan at halftime.
What do you need to change about the game plan? What are you frustrated about?
There's just a lot going on right out now. It's embarrassing for us here as an offense, so a lot of things we want to fix and correct.
Thanks.
Wow. Changed the entire offensive game plan.
That was Diana Rossini, wasn't it? Am I right?
Yes, yes, anyway. Diana. Right. And then Steve Levy on the play-by-play.
Well, and then they caught him on the sideline talking to one of the other quarterbacks saying, you know, even more.
Yes.
He had more negative thoughts.
People think he's going to get cut and that he's blaming everybody but himself.
You know, but everyone loves the access. I mean, this
I
is
love
what,
the
like,
access. Yeah. That's on him.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean is it the access's fault or him?
No. I'm saying is that everyone loves the access. You've got to understand if you're the quarterback, you know, you're expected to kind of...
You know, it's easy to play into that in the XFL. Even if you allow that access, there's no quarterback in the NFL who's going to say anything close to that.
Correct. I think there is a freedom that these guys probably feel because they're in the XFL that maybe they can say some things that they couldn't in the NFL.
Remember all the outrage over Sam Darnold and them airing him that he was saying,
ghosts.
See ghosts?
Yeah.
This guy was ripping everything.
Yeah, this game plan sucks. What happens in Vegas? Sprays in Vegas?
No.
Las Vegas tourists were treated to an
champagne, right?
Las Vegas tourists were treated to an unexpected and unwelcome sprinkling when a teenager riding a zip line through the Fremont Street Experience urinated on people below as he sped through the attraction on Wednesday.
That's disgusting. Was it Dave Matthews doing the zip lining?
Spokesperson for the Slotzilla attraction confirmed to the local Fox affiliate in Las Vegas that a 15-year-old boy drenched the people below in pee.
Drenched, huh?
He was that scared, huh? He literally peed his pants on the zip line.
Oh, I don't think this was from fright. I think this was intentional.
Oh, you think a 15-year-old did that intentionally?
A marketing director for Fremont Street told the Fox affiliate that the teenager's parents apologized for the incident. At this time, it's unclear whether the boy urinated on people as a joke or if it was the result of an accident.
Right. He could have been, I mean...
Or he could have just thought he was the funniest guy in Vegas.
At 15, though, that's something you and your brother would have done at 15.
No,
I don't know.
No comments. There was no such thing as a zip line back then.
Like, it's some drunk 20-year-old or 21-year-old, but a 15-year-old doing it intentionally?
You know what? That kid's got promise. That kid has got...
For what?
Jackass 5, the movie?
I love those movies.
Right. This guy could star in it. Santa Monica is where we're headed next. A porn stunt apparently done to get clicks is provoking outrage after news surfaced that an adult film was shot inside a local public library. The video is more than 10 minutes in length and was shot on Santa Monica city streets and then inside the Santa Monica Public Library, a Ocean Park branch.
So outrage over that?
You don't seem to be bothered by it. Like, oh my God, don't pee on anybody on a zip line. But hey, you want to film a porn inside a local public library? That's cool.
Was it after hours?
No, it was during business hours.
Then it would have been a break-in. Then it would have been breaking and entering.
I don't know. Maybe they rented it and they said they were doing a book fair.
No. It was their outrage.
We'll show you a book fair.
I think it's time to go to Florida,
Catch
Ohio.
Me in the humanities section.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
Wow.
Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery.
Oh, there you go. Santa Monica
on the table.
Public Library.
It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. Da-da. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
And Florida, Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. See Fields first for luxury cars, SUVs, and snacks at fieldsautogroup.com.
Bring it.
A man arrested midstream while relieving himself on the bumper of a marked police car.
What's going on here? What's going on today?
Was
it a 15-year-old?
26-year-old. David Lewis, a 26-year-old man.
Meet David Lewis Waddle.
Meet David Lewis. Man, he was out. The 26-year-old man was arrested early Friday after relieving himself on the bumper of a marked police car. Said the cops had captured him. Police say that David was downstairs. Was downtown.
Are you editing? What are you doing?
He's got four names, and I'm trying to edit his name. His name is David Marcel Lewis Johnson.
All right.
Sometimes they refer to him as David, and sometimes they refer to him as Johnson. I'm trying to make sure it's the same guy, and they're not talking about Johnson, if you know what I mean.
Sometimes there is editing that also has to take place. So reading a Waddle's World story or a Florida, Ohio story at times tests the boundary of your humanity and your decency.
It does. Police say that Johnson was downtown when he pulled urinated on the rear bumper of a vehicle. The arrest affidavit also said he was taken into custody while still in commission of the crime. So he hadn't finished. He was also uncooperative with questioning when charged with disorderly conduct for urinating in the view of members of the public.
What is the appropriate move for a police officer at that point? Do you let him finish even though he's peeing on the bumper of your car?
Yes, you don't interfere.
Or do you grab his hands and cuff him, which could lead to you getting splashed?
No, the first thing you mentioned. You let him finish and you arrest him.
Or is there a taser involved?
No taser. Because then even electricity and water.
Okay,
like, it
you're right.
Mix.
My bad. I'm just asking. I don't know. I've never been a police officer.
Yeah. This was at a tailgating at the Daytona, Florida.
Okay, I'll go with the Daytona Beach as well.
Clean sweep, Florida.
A man was arrested while relieving himself on the bumper of a cop car in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Listen, you're not letting it hang out and peeing on anything at this time of the year in Cincinnati or somewhere in northern Ohio. It's too cold.
Rick Sutcliffe is a guy who doesn't like to mess around when it comes to rules being broken. Does he take great offense to what went on with Houston? And we'll check in with him to talk some Cubs. Can't Miss Radio coming up in 2 minutes.